The epistle for the ascension of our Lord is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore, who were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. The Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. So are the words of the Holy Gospel. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you a story about St. Gemma Galgani. St. Gemma was born on March 12, 1878, and she died in 1903 at the early age of only 25. And she grew up in a little Italian town called Lucca. And her life was marked with many divine favors and special graces. And sometimes we may think that certain people are just born favored, and they are saints from infancy. However, the holiness of the saints is not measured by their miracles or visions, but their holiness is measured by the great love which they bear God in their sufferings and trials. And so St. Gemma was not without her trials. She was made to suffer great sacrifices and hardships, even at a very young age. The first of her many sorrows was the loss of her mother. St. Gemma was only 8 years old. But within those short years, her mother had fostered in her a great love for God and set in her a strong desire for heaven and to become a saint. Years later, St. Gemma would write, "It was Mama," as she affectionately called her mother. "It was Mama who made me desire to go to heaven." The loss of her mother prompted her to say often, "If God has taken away my mother, he has left me his own." That is, she took the Blessed Mother to be her own mother. And her frequent prayer was, "Holy Virgin, make me a saint." And St. Gemma, when she was still in school, she fell ill with meningitis. She was actually at the point of death. But she prayed a novena to St. Margaret Mary, and she was miraculously cured. And while she was at that school, she was taught by the sisters, and she took a particular liking to prayer. And according to one priest who knew her very well, he said, "St. Gemma's life was one continual prayer, and her prayer book was the crucifix." In other words, her meditations on the sufferings of Christ were always before her eyes. And the more she meditated on the Passion of Christ, she began to feel a growing desire to love Jesus crucified with all her heart. And together with this, a longing to help him in his sufferings. And thus, St. Gemma was especially drawn and devoted to the Passion of our Lord. "O Jesus," she often prayed, "I wish to follow thee, whatever it may cost me of suffering. To follow thee fervently, I wish to suffer for thee," she would say. And thus, by her acceptance and loving embrace of the sufferings of this life, she aspired to the tremendous heights of holiness. And it was towards the end of her short life, she suffered terribly from a form of tuberculosis. And one last consolation remained to St. Gemma. It was the consolation and comfort of being in the midst of her affectionate friends. But even this she was deprived. Because of the danger of spreading that contagious disease, the doctors decided that Gemma be removed from her family and friends. St. Gemma was moved to a house nearby in the February of 1903, making her last sacrifice with a calm resignation. And about 2 months later, after having received the last sacraments, St. Gemma, with a look of angelic joy on her face, gave up her pure soul to God an hour after midday on Holy Saturday, which was April 11th of the year 1903. And her countenance was so beautiful and peaceful that those who were around her found it very difficult to convince themselves that she was actually dead. St. Gemma was canonized by Pope Pius XII on May 2nd, 1940, which was the actual day of the Ascension. And thus, St. Gemma won her heavenly crown by uniting her sufferings with Christ and patiently bearing the many crosses in her life. And my dear friends, it was 40 days after our Lord rose from the tomb that he ascended into heaven. And it is on this great feast of the Ascension that the Church wishes us to rejoice. St. Leo the Great once said, "Since Christ's ascension is our own exaltation, and where the glory of the head has gone before, there the body may hope one day to be, Let us rejoice with due gladness. In other words, St. Leo the Great was saying, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we too have penetrated the highest heavens. And he explains, because we are the mystical members of this body, the church, and Christ is the head of this body. And so the church wishes us to rejoice and to think of the joys of heaven. And in this life, there are numerous trials and temptations we must endure. And may become overwhelmed at times, or we may lose courage. We become discouraged because our trials and sufferings tend to distort our vision. These trials and sufferings block the true perspective we ought to have. And the true perspective is that we are made for heaven. We are not made for this world. But because of our fallen human nature and our love of self, sometimes we forget why we are here. Sometimes we forget that the sufferings and trials we face in this life ought to be the very instruments of our love for God. St. Gemma teaches us this, even when she was 8 years old. To suffer the loss of a mother is devastating to anyone, but especially to a young daughter. But she had the courage to continue in these sufferings and place all her confidence in our Savior and His Holy Mother. St. Gemma would endure the tribulations in this life because she was taught by her mother to look to the day when she would be happy with God in heaven. Thus, we should often think about heaven and its eternal joys, especially in the midst of the sufferings. The thought of seeing God face to face, of being happy for all eternity without any pain or suffering, these things should occupy our minds. You know, when a person wants to reach a goal, and he must work hard and struggle to obtain it, that person keeps that goal foremost in his mind. The thought of that goal is sometimes the only thing that helps him overcome the difficulties. It occupies his thoughts, and it moves him to action. And so we ought to ask ourselves, my dear friends, how often do I think of my final goal? How often do you think of the joys of heaven, especially when you find yourself in the midst of trials and hardships? And what is it that awaits us in heaven? We cannot even explain in a positive way what awaits us in heaven. St. Paul says, eye hath not seen, nor the ear hath heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him. In another place, St. Paul says, the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. And he also said once, we see now through a mirror in a dark manner, but then, that is in heaven, face to face. And thus in heaven we shall see God face to face. That is, we shall experience the beatific vision. And we shall also in heaven have the comfort of the bodily presence of our Lord and our Lady, and all of the saints, and even our guardian angel. But if you really want to know how great the joys of heaven are, we need only to look at the crucifix. And what I mean by that is that our Lord and Savior has suffered and died a most cruel death upon the cross so that we may be with Him forever in paradise. How great must be the joys of heaven if the Son of God made man goes to such lengths to secure our presence there. The joys awaiting us in heaven can be summed up in the words of our Lord Himself. He said, "Your reward is very great in heaven." What strength and comfort should be ours that with the help of God's grace and when we do our part and we persevere in the state of sanctifying grace, we will someday reach our ultimate goal, no matter how long and painful that road may be. And so in times of difficulties and discouragement, let us think of heaven often. Let the goal of heaven be foremost in your mind. Let us learn from St. Gemma Galgani, who is quoted to say, "If you really want to love Jesus, first learn to suffer, because suffering teaches you to love." And so, my dear friends, on this great feast of the Ascension, let us be encouraged by the fact that if we persevere in the love of Jesus and Mary, then we can have the utmost confidence that we may be able to see them face to face forever in the everlasting joys of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.